Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today as we visit with Lindsay Hendricks back on the show. She's the horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. And we'll get to her in just a minute or two, but this is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. And remember, listener support. It's the largest source of funding for our WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so, so, so important. And really happy to have gardening guru Jill Nadeau joining us today for the show. Jill, great to have you with us. And how are we doing?
Thanks, Larry. It's so wonderful to be here. Well, the prior break, they did perfectly. They needed 20 gifts, and they received 20 gifts. So thank you to everybody who gave. We really appreciate that.
These hourly goals are really important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now. How do you do it? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. And we need 25 in the next hour for us to meet our goal, Larry. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all because, you know what? Our listeners are powerful because people who listen like you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. It's simple. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and the entire community. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you might be thinking that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is. Well, WPR has been around for years because thousands of people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
Now it's time for you to make that decision. Many first-time donors give what, 10 or 20 bucks a month? You choose what works best for you, but give right now. It's time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is
my source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation for this fall member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your programs, the programs that you enjoy, are possible thanks to your support. And your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference for our entire community.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time, because all we need is your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give. Oh, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs like Garden Talk that keep you connected to the world. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. And we are looking for 25 gifts this hour. And I know that we can do that, no problem. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will help get programs like today at Garden Talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And you will be able to show off your love for WPR with the latest WPR tote. Does it look pretty nice, Jill?
It's nice. It's very nice. I think it's a brand new design. So if you collect tote bags like many of us do, I don't know why I have so many, but they always come in handy. But it's beautiful, yes.
I hear it's blue and orange in
it
design.
Is.
Mm-hmm. It's going to pop right up. It's going to pop right up. You're going to notice it, and so is everybody else. So it starts with your gift, $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, now is a great time to become a sustaining member. And it's easy to set up. It's convenient. It's ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. I do it because otherwise I would forget. So get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mary in Wausau says, I can't get enough of Larry. Thank you for the consistent and excellent midday radio. And Judy in Eau Claire says, here's an extra donation. I love Larry's show. Oh, these guys are awesome.
That's so awesome. Your gift right now, very important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Do it right now. Say, Jill and I are going to talk. She's going to pipe in. She always wants to talk and get in the way. But
oh, well, can I
but
say?
She is the garden guru of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have Lindsay Hendricks back for Garden Talk. She's the horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. And one of her areas of focus is the English Country Garden. I thought it'd be fun to talk about that. And we'll talk with her about it. And we'll also look at spring flowering bulbs, other wintering cold-sensitive plants. We could even talk vegetables if you want. And we'll take your calls. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Lindsay, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
Some people might say, what the heck is an English country garden?
Well, the English cottage garden is kind of an homage to the gardens of the olden days of the estates and the lords and ladies back in England. It's a different style of gardening with kind of anything goes, you know, plants shared between neighbors, friends and family, heirloom vegetables and flowers passed down from generation to generation. Very informal, can incorporate a lot of heirloom plants, new cultivars of varieties of flowers and fruits and vegetables as well. So a little bit of everything.
And it's one of your favorites. Why?
It is, because I do not like having to use a ruler or a tape measure when I lay out my plants. And I like to be kind of a little design on the fly. So in that garden, I have a lot of flexibility in terms of what plants I can use every year, perennials, annuals, tropicals, fruits, vegetables, spring flowering bulbs, pretty much anything goes. And I really like to change it up every year in there with colors and different plants just to keep things interesting.
You know, I did a tour of England, a Wisconsin Public Radio tour, and we saw Alving in England. This is some years back, but we saw some of those cottage gardens, and they're beautiful gardens, Jill.
They are absolutely gorgeous, and I kind of try to do that a little bit in the front of my house because I really love the colors and just the textures, and it's just free for all.
Yeah. What do you include in your design, Lindsay?
Well, a majority of the plants already exist in the garden, a lot of perennials, some trees and shrubs, but there is quite a bit of room for annuals every year. So a lot of the traditional English cottage plants, lots of like zinnias, begonias. I like to throw in some canna lilies and elephant ears just for a little bit of a tropical feel. Also, heirloom vegetables, celosias. We have a lot of marigolds and different flowers we put in an English. We have a cutting garden that's kind of attached to the cottage that we use for collecting and drying flower material that we use on a tree for our Garden of Lights event. So that's something that they would do back in the olden days as well, is harvest material and dry it and use it on their Christmas trees because they didn't have a lot of money back then and they were able to bring the outdoors in during the winter months.
It's a pretty cool idea, actually. Keeping it beautiful, kind of the... You know, through the season, is that difficult or?
Once you kind of get the hang of it, it's actually not too hard. There's a lot of reseeding annuals that come up every year, like red sea poppies, Kiss Me Over the Garden Gate, some tall amaranth, and a lot of different things that kind of plant themselves in an essence. So you kind of have to know where they come up and when they will be done for the season. So when you pull them out, that there's always something that's coming behind it to bloom. So it's kind of getting used to the plant material that you have and then knowing what's going to bloom at what season and making sure that you have plants that will bloom throughout the season. So planting things in spring, things that will flower in summer, and then also don't forget about your fall blooming annuals and perennials, the asters and goldenrods that will add late season interest to the garden.
I don't have enough of that in my garden. Noticing right now.
Looking a little brown, Larry.
it's not looking like I would like it to look, for sure. We've got callers online. Let's take a call. Anne Webster, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. My husband and I moved here in June from Washington State, and I gardened forever in Washington State. I was a master gardener for a while too, but the upper Midwest is completely different. So I've got a few questions.
Okay.
First question is, what time of year is best to transplant perennials?
Okay. So let's start with that one. What do you think, Lindsay?
Sure. Well, we actually get that question a lot, and it's a pretty easy one. So typically with perennials, you want to transplant them the season opposite of their bloom. So any perennials that are more spring blooming, you would want to transplant those in fall, so this time of the year. So think of your lady's mantle and like heuchras and coral bells that bloom earlier in the season. And then the flowers that bloom kind of like in the fall, like your asters, goldenrods, some of those mums, those you would transplant in spring before they really start kind of growing. So you can transplant in between, but just beware that if, it's really hot in the summer in Wisconsin, we tend to get a little droughty kind of August, September, depending on the year, that anything that's transplanted, you check it for water every week so it doesn't dry out, because that can really stress out a plant. So typically, if you keep it watered, keep an eye on it, you can transplant whenever, but we like to recommend at the garden to transplant anything this season opposite of its bloom time.
Hmm. What else you got for us, Anne?
Yeah, what's the name of it? Hydrangea that's been blooming all summer. What would be the time to do that?
The shrubs that tend to bloom a little bit sporadically or consistently throughout the summer, those can probably be done. We like to do our stuff earlier in the season just so it has like the rest of the summer and fall to reestablish its root system, and is all set to go into the fall and winter months so it doesn't get so beat up over the winter. So I like to move the hydrangeas in spring also because they're a lot smaller, a lot less growth. So when they do transplant, they usually don't look as tattered and ratty, after you move them and break half of the stems off because they're so big and obnoxious. So those I would suggest probably doing earlier in the season, just to give them a chance to recover before the fall and winter months.
Anne, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in too at 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address ideas@WPR.org, right in the middle of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Well, I guess we're not right in the middle of it, Jill. No,
we're just
getting started. So here's an idea for you. Your support, it's an essential piece of the funding for all our shows. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs. This drive, it's your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Are we making any progress here?
We are. Now, we've got about 40 minutes left, and we do have 4 of the 25 gifts that we're looking for. But, Larry, I know you're kind of competitive, so I think we need to get our listeners to make some phone calls for us, right? And remember that when you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a powerful source and resource for news, for talk, for music that we've all created together. And this service has an impact all over the state and far beyond, too, providing information, connection, and inspiration. I think we even got a call from New Zealand one time.
We do. We have a listener who listens all the time in New Zealand, some in Mexico. We've heard from all over the place. And you know that your support to this station, it really enriches the lives of hundreds of thousands of listeners. So make your impact. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now that you've made that decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. And the answer, I think the best answer is become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account, or some people put it on their credit card too. And you just set it up and it just keeps going and going, Jill.
Absolutely. You don't have to do anything. I wish I had more things in my life where I didn't have to think about that. And it's just a great way of donating because it provides reliable funding. So we know that it's coming in and that helps to support the programs that you count on. So make an easy to pay monthly gift and those donations add up to have a big impact on us. So choose an amount. I mean, it could be $10 or it could be $20 a month, it could be $100 a month, whatever works for you. Become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Take your Wisconsin Public Radio pride on the go with the new WPR tote bag. The sturdy, USA-made natural cotton bag features a vibrant orange and blue design. With shoulder-length handles, it's perfect for groceries or books. And showing off your love for WPR and Wisconsin wherever you go. Ask for your tote bag today when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the programs you rely on, and that's why your gift, maybe it's $10 a month, could be $100 a month or more, whatever amount you choose. It all has an important impact.
It certainly does. And I think that was one of our wonderful board ops, Trina, giving us information about that tote bag. She always does such a great job. And good news, Larry, we now have 7 of the 25 gifts that we're looking for. Time's ticking away, though, so we need to hear from you. And thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs like Garden Talk that you enjoy.
That's right. And if you're wondering how much I should give, well, you know, it's up to you. And a lot of things are going that way these days. You pay what you can or what you feel you should be able to contribute. And any amount is turned into the programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Good idea to make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thanks a lot for making an investment that serves your whole community.
Absolutely. And if you're a sustaining member, making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month or whatever amount that you choose. And like Mary in Pulaski says, I love Larry Mueller and want to show my support. You know how many people I talk to every day, Larry, that say that. And Dennis in Grafton says, I love listening to Larry during lunch and then trying to apply the knowledge to my own life. I love that. What fun.
It is fun. And we learn a lot, too. I've gotten a college education on this program from our guests, for sure.
Yes.
Well, what about you? Your gift right now is so important. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today for Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau, and our guest is Lindsay Hendricks. Always fun to talk with Lindsay. She's the horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens, and pretty much a gardening question you have, you can give a call because she knows a whole lot about a wide variety of things. The number is 800-642-1234. Or if you want to email us, that's great too. Email at ideas@WPR.org. Jim in Menominee has a question for you, Lindsay. Let's go there.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about transplanting trees at this time of year. I have a neighbor who has a couple of volunteer trees, approximately 3 to 4 feet tall, and I would like to transplant them yet this fall. What can I do to help promote success that they will take next year?
Oh, hello, Jim. Great question. So do you know what type of trees they are?
Yes, catalpa.
Oh, catalpa trees. Okay, familiar with those. So, you know, fall, we still have some time before the ground freezes that we can move some things around. And actually in our children's garden expansion project, we're still planting trees and shrubs and perennials. So I would say you probably have some time to get them transplanted. I would probably do it sooner rather than later before the ground freezes. But, you know, if you dig out as much of the roots as you can. Some of them might kind of drop a lot of the soil, so essentially they kind of get bare-rooted. But as long as you pull them out with as much of the roots intact and then, you know, plant them in the new space that you want to move them to, or if they're going to, like, overwinter in a pot that you heel into the ground, just make sure that you water them in well after they're transplanted, because that will help get all the little air pockets out of the soil. And then when the ground starts to freeze, those roots will be kind of nice and settled in their new home. And then, you know, I would probably check them for water at least once a week until the ground freezes, just to make sure that they don't dry out and get overly stressed before going into winter. But that's probably, you know, pretty doable. I would just give them a good drink before you plan on transplanting them. Get out as much of the roots as you can. And then, you know, after putting it into its new home, just make sure you water it in well to get those air pockets out of the soil, and then keep checking it for water weekly until we get our first hard freeze and the ground is pretty solid.
There you go, Jim. Thanks so much. And if you have a question, join in. 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. We ought to ask Jill, ask Lindsay, how things are going at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. What activities are going on there?
Well, we've got a lot going on. Fall is probably our busiest time of the year, surprisingly. So this weekend, we actually have an event called Fall Family Festival. That's free to the public, and you can come in with your families. And we have the Oneida Nation doing some demonstrations this year to share a little bit about their culture. But at the garden itself, we have a children's garden expansion that's currently undergoing completion. So we're planting over 20,000 annual or perennials, trees and shrubs in there this year. And then, you know, the gardens are still looking really great because we've had a really warm, long summer. So, you know, our annuals are still looking great. Our fall blooming perennials are just coming into their own. And then, you know, we still have a lot to see. And then in a couple weeks, we'll probably start planting our spring blooming bulbs, all the tulips and daffodils. I think we have between 30 or 40,000 that will be going in the ground this year. So
crazy. That is so many bulbs and things to plant.
And isn't now when they have the big sales on bulbs and so forth?
Yeah,
at the
they're
garden
all in
centers?
The stores right now.
They're in comment on that a little bit. I mean, this is the time we see them. Tips for picking out healthy bulbs, for example.
Yeah. Well, typically a lot of the stores have them in stock about now, and then catalogs that you're probably getting in the mail. We actually order ours, I think, in August, because a lot of the retailers that we order from wholesale, they sell a lot of things pretty quickly. So we usually get our orders together in August and then put those in, and we're actually receiving our bulbs, I think next Tuesday is supposed to be when they arrive. So when you're going to the store, you know, just make sure any bulbs like tulips or daffodils that you kind of take a look in the bag or box if able to make sure that they're nice and solid and there's nothing smelly or stinky or squishy in there. Because if you get a rotten bulb, you know, that's not going to produce a flower next year. So you want to make sure they're sturdy, healthy bulbs that don't have a lot of smell or anything weird growing on them, which can happen sometimes when they sit in the store for a while.
Lindsay, do you at the botanical gardens add like fertilizer when you put in the bulbs? Because I know a lot of times that people ask, should I put fertilizer, or they even push it on you. So what do you guys do?
Yeah, great question. So typically the bulbs that get planted amongst our existing perennials, trees, and shrubs really don't get a ton of fertilizer, but we do have some display beds in the garden that this time of the year we'll be starting to pull them out. They're just straight annuals, and then in the fall we plant them with bulbs. So it's kind of like cropping with annual plants and spring blooming bulbs. So once we pull the annuals out, we usually sprinkle a little bit of 10-10-10 or Milorganite in there to give it a little bit of nutrition. And then sometimes we'll add a little bit of compost in there, but that's really all the fertilizer that they get is when they're planted, they get a little sprinkle because it's a pretty fast crop for us in the spring. So they don't need a ton of nutrition typically.
Okay.
So.
Penny in Mount Vernon Township has a question here. Let's go there. Hi, Penny.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Okay. I just moved to Minnesota from New Jersey, and in preparation, I had had a lot of my perennials. It should be cold hardy here in pots, so I just planted them. Is there anything I can do to help keep them so that they survive over this winter, the first real cold one for them?
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah. So kind of just back to the tree question about transplanting trees, as long as you get them in the ground, you know, before the ground freezes and give them a good water, you know, they should be able to kind of settle their roots in the soil before going into the winter. So I would probably encourage you to get them planted as soon as you're able to, just so they have a little bit of time to kind of get those new roots going. Because just like our fall or spring blooming bulbs, you know, we plant them in the ground and their roots actually start growing in fall right away, even when it's cold. And then once the ground freezes, they kind of stop. So just give them a good drink once you plant them. And then, you know, probably water them maybe once a week if the weather is not, you know, wet and cool, just to keep them going until the ground freezes. So I'd say you still have time. And if anything's a little sensitive, marginally hardy, you know, you might want to throw a little bit of mulch over the top of them. But also typically with perennials, the first year we plant them in the garden or transplant them here, we don't cut back any of the foliage until the following spring, because that way they can produce enough energy from the sun through photosynthesis to kind of, you know, give energy to establishing some new roots before the winter hits.
A little easier to see them in the spring then.
That's true. That's a really good way to know what was new last year, is to not cut it back.
Penny, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Martha in Menominee, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Martha.
Oh, it's cold here in Menominee today, but this talk is warming me up.
Good.
About gardening is great. Say, Larry, you and I talked last spring about this plant I got for Mother's Day. It's called an orange star. Beautiful, beautiful. It looks kind of like a hyacinth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was able to successfully divide the bulbs and plant them. You know, it was one plant, and then I grew it under lights over the winter. I kept it going. Now I've had it outside this summer. I divided it into two bulbs in one big pot. So my question is, I'm going to bring it in here soon for the winter. Should I divide those two bulbs again and put one in each pot for that orange star plant, or should I keep them together till spring?
I don't know. Lindsay, what do you think?
Well, I just looked it up because I've never heard of that before. So it looks like it's also called Star of Bethlehem, which we have some of those kind of in the garden and certain spots and pots. But I like to not really touch a lot of those bulbs that you bring in for the winter months and either let go dormant or keep them in your house until the following spring. Because a lot of times bringing something out from the outside in your house is going to be kind of going under a little bit of a shock to begin with, less light, different temperatures, not as much humidity. So that can be pretty stressful for plants. So I would suggest leaving it in the pot, keeping it happy throughout the winter. And then next spring, once it starts growing a little bit more again, and the weather starts getting a little bit nicer outside, that would be the time that I would take it and try to divide it, because then that plant has the whole growing season to kind of recover and grow and thrive.
I looked it up, and absolutely gorgeous,
gorgeous,
Martha.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so pretty. Martha, can I ask you a question? Does it bloom all summer long, or when did it start?
Well, it bloomed, you know, it was blooming when I got it for Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
And it bloomed pretty much all, you know, all summer. I mean, I had it inside, but I had it under light.
Sure.
You know, in a window, but I had supplemental light.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much bloomed most of the summer. And then I called Larry last fall about what to do with it, you know, over the winter. And I said, you know what? It's got bulbs. I can see them. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to divide them. Larry said, good luck. Call me and let me know how it goes. So I was successful with half of it. But I love this advice because, you know, I put two of them in. They were tiny little bulbs. They were only the size of maybe a marble. And I didn't think I was going to get them to go, but I got two out of three to go. So I love this advice of leaving them alone, you know, and letting them go through the winter.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll do, and I'll call you in the spring, and I'll let you know how it went.
Sounds good.
You know, I looked those up when Martha called, and okay. They're beautiful, beautiful.
They are. I want one.
Martha, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, have a question or a comment for our guest today. I hope you will join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Lindsay Hendricks, our guest today, horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. Jill and I are talking with her, and you're talking with her, too, because you get a chance to join in and call and ask those questions during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And our goal, what's our goal? Is to keep bringing you topics like this one on Garden Talk and all the other shows we do. But Garden Talk is kind of a special show. It's really one of our most popular programs. And your support during this popular program helps make the program keep going. And and your support is the largest source of funding for our show. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And that's simply put, Larry, it makes the show keep going. And that's the whole point of having these member drives. And we are looking for 25 gifts this hour. So far we have 12. So we're almost halfway there. We need 13 more, and we'd really love your support. We've only got about 20 minutes left, so time is ticking away. So make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy, like Garden Talk. And you know what? You rely on this. You know, just like Martha was saying, she's so glad we're here. What other, you know, does Netflix give you great information like this? I don't think so, Larry.
No. WPR programs, you know what? We're listener powered. I like that idea.
Yeah.
It means that your donation right now makes a difference. How do you do it? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we're on Garden Talk. It's such a special show. You know, it's once a week, actually twice a week, because we repeat the first hour on Saturday. So you may be listening on Saturday. So much information about the bulbs, you know, how to make sure that you get healthy ones, because that's so important. How disappointing when you spend this money and then your bulbs don't come up. But we're information about when to plant trees. When to prune them. It saves you money because you don't make a mistake and lose all that you've invested in it. And all of this is happening because of listener support. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes of your very valuable time and make your gift.
And once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And I think WPR is one place where that's true every day. So maybe consider a gift of $2 a day to support the programs you love.
And it really is hard to buy anything for $2 these days. I can't even get a soda in the soda machine for $2. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. And that works out to $60 a month. And you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Well, Nancy from Sheldon, Wisconsin, thank you so much for those comments. And I hope you, as you listen to her, I hope you'll go to WPR.org or maybe a phone, 888-202-2552, and make your donation. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau with me, and your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And, you know, I think Nancy is so kind, like all of our listeners are, to let her husband wake up before she turns the radio on. What a lovely woman there. Wisconsin has access to quality news, talk, and entertainment because 50,000 individuals and households choose to support WPR.
Wisconsin Public Radio, we work on the honor system. I hope you'll join this team effort with your gift right now. $10 a month, maybe. You decide the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I'm just refreshing the dashboard right now. We still need 13, Larry. Come on, everybody, give us a call. You know you've been meaning to support for quite a while, and you probably just haven't. So give us a call, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as fast.
You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and our guest is Lindsay Hendricks, horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. Give a call with your questions or comments. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. Bill in Oregon has a question for us, Lindsay, so let's go there. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
I've got an established garden area that I'm planning to add some Monarda seeds to. And I'm just wondering if you had any tips for growing perennials from seed or, you know, at this time of year, and any recommendations for how to apply it in an area that I really can't disturb the soil very much.
Oh, that's a good question. So are there existing, so you said it's an existing garden bed that you're looking to add new perennials to?
Yeah.
Yes. Because I purchased a bag of a few hundred Monarda seeds for red bee balms. And it's already got a lot of plants in it, but they've been kind of, the density's been dropping down or been decreasing over the last few years. So I thought I'd try adding seed, but I'm just trying to figure out best way to kind of maximize success, given that I can't really till them in.
Yeah. Well, you know, some perennials can be just, you know, scatter the seeds into the beds and then they'll come up, you know, the next year all fine and dandy. But if you have, you know, existing perennials, sometimes that doesn't work the best. So we've done quite a few perennials from seed over the last couple of years here at the Botanical Garden. So I guess, you know, starting them from seed in the winter months, usually probably January, February-ish is when we start a lot of our perennials from seed here at the garden. But when you're doing that, you want to make sure that you have a space that those plants will be getting sufficient sunlight and that the area is heated so they're not too cool, because sometimes those seeds need a little bit of heat to get going and start germinating. So, you know, if you don't have a south-facing window that you can put your tray in of seeds, you know, make sure you get some artificial lighting. You know, you can go to the hardware store and buy some fluorescent ballast with lights in it, or there's a lot of LED lights out there these days that you can get. And, you know, it's as simple as you can just scatter all your seeds in one flat. And as they come up and start growing, you can prick them apart into individual pots. That way, each of those plants will have its own space to kind of grow and get really healthy before you plant them out the next year. Or you can just start them out by planting one seed per each cell in like the flats that you can buy at most big box retail stores or nurseries. They're usually available, you know, closer to springtime, but I'm sure if you search online, you can find a lot of that stuff now. So, but you want to check the back of your seed packet. It probably has specific instructions for like the Monarda and the other perennials you might want to start from seed, because some perennial seeds do need a like a stratification period of like cold and wet conditions before they germinate. And we found out here at the garden this year when we did a whole bunch of different perennials for a project that some of them wouldn't grow unless they met the stratification cold wet requirements that those seeds needed. So I think the Monarda were pretty easy to do, and those might have not needed the cold wet period before they were planted. But a lot of that information, there's a couple websites called Prairie Moon Nursery and I think Prairie Seeds online have a lot of that information on there of the native plants. How to grow them best.
And if you were going to do it into the garden itself, you'd need to get some seed-to-soil contact, I think, a little bit. If you were going to have really good success, Bill, I think you'd need to kind of clear out some areas. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah, for sure. Like, especially if you have mulch on in your garden beds, you would want to like scrape that aside before you scattered any seed. And some seeds do require light to germinate too. So, you know, if you're going to be directly sowing anything, you'd want to scratch the surface or the coverings, mulch away, you know, scatter your seeds, and then you could use like a garden rake or hoe to kind of scratch those seeds into the soil so they have a little soil seed contact, and then water them in right away to make sure that they have also the water to grow and start germinating. So you could do a combination of both, actually scatter some seeds in the fall, see what comes up, and start some ahead of the season in your home.
Yeah.
Do you have to wait, Lindsay, though, until it's cooler out? I mean, I would be afraid that the plants would germinate and then they would die right away and probably not come back. Is that a caution to think about?
For some annual seeds, yes, but perennials, most, it's usually not an issue because they know those little seeds, they kind of know, you know, if you scatter them in fall, they kind of have to wait for like a cool period before they'll start growing. And a lot of them, that's why they require a cool period followed by a wet period for a certain amount of time before they'll germinate. That's kind of like their built-in safety system that they don't start germinating right before winter and then they would get killed off. So usually perennials, you don't have to worry about it so much, but sometimes annuals, seeds, you know, that's where you have to make sure you plant them at the right time of the year.
And Patty from Fond du Lac County wanted to chime in on this too. Patty, what have you got for us?
Hi. So last year I did what they're calling winter sowing. You plant them in milk jugs and cut the top so that it's kind of got a hinge to it. And you put them outside in like February, and by when they're ready to germinate, they germinate inside the milk jug, and you've got them right outside, and they're happy. And I did a whole bunch of milkweed that way this past winter.
Well, that's great, Patty. We just talked about that last Friday, Larry, when you were gone. So excellent.
And Lindsay, and that's worked for you as well?
Well, we haven't done the milk jug method. I've heard a lot about it from our volunteers. Here at the garden, we have the resources to grow stuff in our greenhouse.
Yeah.
But I have been contemplating trying that at home because I have a lot of perennials and a lot of critters that I want to, or perennials to start from seed, but a lot of critters that would get into stuff. So I've been wanting to try that, and I might do that this year for some of my perennials that I want to get started.
Patty, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Bob in Wausau.
Barb,
in Wausau called, couldn't stay with us, wondering how to avoid bringing bugs in when she moves her plants indoors.
Oh, that's a fun one. So at the garden, we do bring some things into our growing areas and overwinter, some tropical plants that, you know, can't handle the cold. So you know, typically when the weather starts cooling off, a lot of those bugs, like especially like aphids and even mealybugs and sometimes scale, the cooler temperatures will knock the populations down enough where they don't really become too much of a problem. So we like to leave a lot of our stuff out at the garden until, you know, it's the absolute lowest temperature it can handle, because that kind of guarantees that we'll kill off as much bugs as possible. But in your home, you know, if you don't have the time or the space to like do that, and you want to bring everything inside, I would just take like a quick check of your plants, look over all the leaves and stems and even the pot that they're in, you know, to check for pests such as like aphids and mealybugs and scale and other things that might be coming in. And then, you know, sometimes you can manually remove them, squish them with your fingers, or even sometimes a gentle pressure on a hose, you know, to wash them off to remove them from your plants before bringing them in. So, and typically just keeping an eye on them regular in your house. And if you notice populations start breaking out, we like to just give them a bath with like some, you know, tepid soapy water, wipe down the leaves, anything that's really infested, and then rinse the foliage of the plants off again, so the soap doesn't damage any of your foliage. But usually if you keep a good eye checking on them, make sure they're getting sufficient light, humidity, and, you know, heat, whatever they need to be happy, you can usually keep the insect pests, you know, at bay.
Thank you very much for that question, Barb. Appreciate it. Here we are in our fall member drive, and coming up at 5 minutes to the top of the hour, Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, hoping that your support will come through. It's an essential piece of the funding for the Larry Mueller Show and all the programs you enjoy on WPR. Listener support is the largest source of funding. And this drive in the next 5 minutes, I hope you'll take some action right now. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, no pressure. 5 minutes. But the good news is we only need two more people to make our goal and to make Larry happy. So if you have the power to do that, you know, these hourly goals are set up just to make sure that we have funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Love Garden Talk, and I love having Lindsay Hendricks on the show from the Green Bay Botanical Garden. They do a wonderful job there, and as you listen to her answer questions, I mean, she does such a wonderful job answering these questions. I learn a lot from her every time she's on, and I bet you do too. And it's a great benefit to our to me and to you. How's your life enriched by Garden Talk? How is it unique to public radio? We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many hours possible. Just takes a minute or two, and go ahead right now and make your gift.
That's right. And remember, if you give $10 or more a month, you'll get to display your WPR pride when you carry the WPR tote bag. It's a medium-sized tote, and it's handy for trips to the store or the library or maybe a picnic. Ask for yours when you give a gift of, like I said, $10 or more a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I don't know what I would do without Wisconsin Public Radio.
I love Wisconsin Public Radio.
I just love public radio.
It's the companion of my life.
WPR, for me, is a wonderful, wonderful resource.
I depend on it so much. It's just part of my life.
I just listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Why would you go anywhere else?
Why would you?
As why a would you?
Why
I don't
the
know.
Heck would you? And here's another thing you ought to do. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during this fall member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution. $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a difference for our entire community.
Well, Larry, I keep pushing the refresh button on my screen to see if we've gotten it, you know, like when you wait for the elevator. And you know what? It worked. We are one over our goal. So thank you so much. Because when you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. So join in at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just because we met the goal doesn't mean that we have to stop.
That's right. We don't get to walk out the door. No,
because there may be times when we don't meet our goal. And this
That's
is,
right.
And so we need your help right now. If you haven't given, this is a great time to support the programs you love right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then you can make another great step. Check with your company's community relations team to see if they match your gift. Many do.
That's right. It's a really good idea. And even if you're retired. So thank you for going that extra step for the programs that you care about after you've made your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, I want to thank you so much for that. Make today perhaps the day you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month.
Sure.
At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Joseph in Madison says, as a kid, we had Larry on in the yard when we were gardening. I'm continuing the tradition. And Alice in Waukesha says, I enjoy the great variety of programs and especially love Garden Talk. Well, Joseph, Alice, thank you.
Gee, I wonder how old Joseph is now.
I was going to ask, but I'm trying to be delicate.
Well, no matter how old he is, I hope you'll make your gift right now. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You will make Jill and I very happy, Lindsay very happy, and all of us here at WPR. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you.
You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau and our guest, Lindsay Hendricks, horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments right now. And I also hope you'll join in and make a contribution if you haven't done it already. Just a quick statement here. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500 through the next half hour, maybe hour, but at least the next half hour. So if you haven't contributed yet, you can double your contribution, essentially, by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552. And make your contribution right now, and you'll get a dollar-for-dollar match. Lindsay, we have Nick in Green Bay who's been waiting a bit, so let's go there. Nick, hi. Thank you for calling.
How's it going, Larry?
Good.
I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I got a black thumb, so this is pretty amazing. My son brought home supposedly a marigold, and so we kept looking at it. I took it as a challenge. I'm like, I'm going to see how big I can get this thing. Well, I didn't expect it to be this much of a challenge, but it went from being an inch, and now it's got to be 3 feet tall. And I was wondering how long you guys think it would work. The only thing we can figure out, because we were told marigold, we looked online, and our hypothesis is a Mexican marigold. It's just starting to bud after a year.
Wow.
Any suggestions?
Oh, wow. So typically, marigolds, those are annual flowers that don't, wouldn't survive the winter. Do you have it outside?
No, I got it. Then that's the other goofy thing. It came in this little milk jug. I had to transfer it into a ice cream pail bucket because it's so big.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot of different types of marigolds out there these days. We have some planted in the garden this year. They're the African marigolds with the big, big flower heads on them. And we have some that are 3-4 feet tall right now. So they can get pretty big, especially if they're happy. They must really like being in that ice cream pail that you have. So if you have it indoors, typically Marigolds have an annual life cycle, which once they are done blooming and producing seed, they'll just naturally die. So if it's in the house and has been in the house, it's really hard to say how long you'll be able to keep it going. So as long as it's getting sufficient light and is in a nice warm spot and is staying pretty happy, you know, I would just keep watering it. You know, you might want to give it a little bit of fertilizer, you know, on a semi-weekly, monthly basis, like a little bit of Miracle-Gro or something, just to give it energy to keep producing flowers. But you can also cut off or deadhead any of the spent blooms, and then the marigold will keep putting energy into producing more flowers and growing. So if it's indoors, it might last a while, but typically when they're planted outdoors, you know, once fall comes around and one of the first hard frosts, you know, it'll probably cycle that it's the end of the life cycle and it'll probably die for the season.
There you go, Nick. Thank you so much for calling. Good job there with growing that. By the way, you can join in too. The number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org.
That's right. And Nick, don't forget to put holes in that ice cream bucket so the water drains out.
Very, very good suggestion, Jill.
Yeah. Yes.
Susan in Waukesha, by the way, couldn't stay with us, but she says she and her sister have grown Star of Bethlehem for years in their gardens. So good on you, Susan. And Gina from Montello emailed us with a question. They have two very old plants they inherited. One Gina thinks is called a pregnant onion, and I've never heard of. And the other is a cane begonia angel wing. So we've got pregnant onion, and we've got cane begonia angel wing. They keep them outside in the spring and summer. The begonia never flowers, and the onion is just a kind of a weird plant, and it makes lots of babies. Those are both over 25 years old. And do either of these need to winter outside to benefit them or to bloom?
Oh, well, I think the pregnant onion, from what I'm understanding in her question, sounds a lot like what we have here at the garden that we call Egyptian walking onion, where they set the little bulbs on top of their foliage, and then as those bulbs grow and get bigger, they kind of fall to the surface of the soil, and then those bulbs kind of start growing. So they can walk around your garden and provide, you know, quite the patch of those onions. So those are pretty self-sufficient, you know, just kind of let them ramble and pull them out of anywhere that you don't want them, because they can kind of take over if you don't keep up on them. So the cane begonias, I guess my question would be, you know, are they being kept in full sun or are they being kept in full shade? Because typically, you know, the begonias prefer to be a little bit more shaded. So if they're grown in too much sun, sometimes they won't bloom. But if they're in too much shade, they can also not bloom. So the cane begonias that we've had here at the garden a couple times, we bring them in the winter and kind of keep them going. They get a little bit leggy, but then usually in the spring when we bring them back outside after frost, you know, they'll start growing again. So I would check the light conditions to make sure it's getting enough sun and or shade. And then also maybe try a fertilizer. You know, Miracle-Gro is pretty fast acting, but otherwise there's a lot of great products. We like to use Osmocote here at the garden for a lot of our containers. It's a slow release fertilizer that will continually feed the plant without burning it, as long as you don't put too much in it. So I would guess light conditions or maybe fertilizer might help it bloom a little bit, because typically if they're getting all of those things, you know, they shouldn't have a problem blooming.
I had one of those angel wing begonias as a hanging plant last summer. It was absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful plant.
I haven't had one of those. Well, that's I'm glad Gina sent that in. I hadn't heard of a pregnant onion before.
No, that was a new one on me, too. That's a pretty cool plant, though.
Oh, man. You know, this cold weather coming, cold-sensitive plants, and there are some out there, and you know, depending on where you are in the state, they need to be getting inside pretty darn soon, Lindsay. Mm-hmm. You want to talk a bit about that? Should we be concerned with, for example, with bringing in the diseases or the insects? I guess we talked a bit about diseases, didn't mention insects. I guess we did.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. And just acclimation all to, you know, bringing them in.
Getting them in, yeah.
Yeah. So that's always, you know, kind of we like to watch the weather here at the garden. And last night it was, I think it got down to 39. And we didn't really have any effect on any of our annuals. We left most things outside. We usually get a little concerned once it gets close to like freezing temperature, 32 degrees. So a lot of the plants that are in containers that are easy to get out of the garden, if we know a frost is potentially coming, we'll just bring that stuff back to our shop for the season. And it kind of just hangs out and goes dormant for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, we'll either cut off any dead or diseased foliage, get rid of it so it doesn't spread to the plants while they're in storage. Otherwise, some things like elephant ears and cannas and other tropical bulbs that are in your garden and might be planted in the ground, even dahlias, they can handle a light frost because their growing portion of the plant is underground. And actually, a frost is sometimes good because it signals for those plants to start going into dormancy. So some things can handle a light frost. And usually, if we are short on time, we'll leave those out until we start actually getting frost on our plants. So like I said, leaving things outside as long as possible will kind of help decrease populations naturally, but you do want to remove any dead or diseased foliage before you bring your plants in to make sure you're not spreading disease or, you know, increasing the chances of them getting worse on your plants. And then, you know, as far as like acclimating them to indoors, most anything that goes from an outdoor, you know, tropical summer environment to your cool, drafty house that's probably very dry air and not good light, you know,
the leaves fall off.
Yeah. So don't be surprised if they do drop some foliage or kind of get leggy, you know, just kind of like the orange star of Bethlehem, you know, just kind of keep it happy throughout the winter. If you need to get like a grow light to put where all your plants are, you know, maybe some supplemental heating in that room, and then, you know, make sure you keep them watered, but don't overwater them because that can also, you know, not do well in the winter. So typically just get them through the winter, keep them as happy as possible. And then next spring and summer, when things warm up, bring them back outside, give them some water. They'll start recovering. You can always trim things back if needed, and then they'll probably be good the rest of the season. So
we had a listener who called but couldn't stay with us, and they were moving their cactus indoors, and some of it broke off. They're wondering how they should care for their broken cactus. I have some thoughts on that, but you go ahead first.
Sure. Well, I actually just moved mine indoors last night because I didn't want a chance losing them. I started them from seeds many moons ago, so they're pretty big. So I haven't had one that's broken off before, and I unfortunately haven't propagated them. It kind of depends what cactuses is, because some of them, like the Christmas cactus, is pretty easy to propagate, and there are some that do have little segments that will pop off and root, like the prickly pear cacti. So the one that has like the bottom half of the cactus or the most growth that's still in the pot, you know, that one, just kind of hold off on watering it a little bit, because what it'll probably do, that area that broke off will kind of callus over, and as it's healing, you know, sometimes it benefits from being a little more dry because they don't like extra moisture. The piece that broke off, I guess I would have to know what kind of cactus it is, and I'd probably have to look it up to see if that's something that you could propagate or not, because some of them are and some of them aren't able to be propagated. So the piece that's in the pot with the roots, I'd probably just hold on to it and kind of make sure it's nice and happy in your house, and you know, that cut area or the snapped area should kind of callus over, and you know, it'll probably still continue to grow, probably better next season when it's happier outside than, you know, in your house for the winter. Just make sure you don't water it too much. Keep it on the dry side because they naturally go into a dormancy in the winter times.
I had a cactus at the lake home that I used to own that had a wonderful, well, it was all glass on one end of the home. And that cactus got really big. Well, it was over 10 feet.
Oh.
But because I had a floor to ceiling kind of, I didn't have a ceiling that would stop it for 20, it could have gotten to 24 feet or something like that. But it broke off once. The top broke off, I think, 3 feet or something when I was trying to move it around a little bit. And I just let it. I let the broken piece sit in a spare room until it kind of scabbed over, and then stuck it back in soil, and then, now I had another one. And it came, and I don't know if I did it right, Lindsay, but that's what I did. And the one that was still, the part of it that was still in the pot continued to grow.
Yeah, because that happens a lot in the desert, so they're kind of made to do that. Question I had for you, Lindsay, is that you had mentioned about the tropical bulbs, like the cannas and the elephant ears, which are the two I have in my garden. You know, we dig them up a little bit later in the season after we get a frost or two. What is your suggestion for storing those? Because I've tried it before and they usually don't grow the next year. What am I doing wrong?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can do it. But at the garden and even at my home, what we do with the, because we have quite a few, we have like dozens of each thing here at the garden. So typically when we dig them out of the ground, they go into a shop, which is like a heated around 50 degrees. And we keep as much of the soil on the roots as possible. Like whatever comes up with the plant stays with that plant. And then they all go on a big tarp in our shop and they sit there for about a week or two to kind of dry off. So that soil, you know, kind of gets all the moisture out of it. And then we cut off the foliage and then we throw them in black trash bags and we keep the top open. We let the tops kind of the plants kind of stick out a little bit. And then we kind of keep them in our shop and they kind of sit in a state of dormancy all winter. And then in the spring, when things warm up and we start up our growing areas and we'll start putting them in pots to give them a little bit of a head start, you know, there is a little bit of sliminess that happens and some foliage, you know, but the corms and the bulbs and tubers, you know, that soil that's on them kind of insulates them and prevents them from drying out. So that way we have a better success rate when we start them up in our growing areas the following spring. But another way to do it, if you're at home, and what I do is my canna lilies and elephant ears are in pots inside, outside with like annuals in them. So in the fall, when it comes time to bring them inside, I pull out my annuals and I actually leave them in the pots. And then I bring that pot down into the basement where it can hang out in the dark, cool cellar all winter. And then I bring them back up in spring and then, you know, kind of transplant them out. But that way you're not even disturbing the root system. So you just kind of stop watering them. They drop their leaves and go dormant. And then you don't really have to dig them out of the ground. So that's how we do it here at the garden. We've had pretty good success with it, just keeping as much of that soil around the roots as possible. Throw it in a black trash bag, you know, make sure it has good air ventilation. You check on it once in a while, but they seem to do pretty well that way.
Great. Lindsay, it's such a pleasure talking with you all the time. Next summer, I think we're going to have to come up maybe and host a show from the gardens again.
Yeah,
haven't done that in a long time, and I'd love to do it
Six
again.
6 years, I checked.
I think I talked to you the last time you were here, and I was just going to recommend that. Larry, you need to come back up here. We haven't seen you in a while, and everyone would love to see you and talk to you. So,
Lindsay,
you're invited officially.
Thanks, Lindsay.
That was fun.
Appreciate it. Very much. Lindsay Hendricks, the horticulture manager at the Green Bay Botanical Garden, our guest. Here we are right in the midst of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And Jill and I want to urge you to make your contribution. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy, especially Garden Talk right now since you're listening to it. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yep, and we do have that reminder that we're doing the dollar-for-dollar match right now. That is for the full hour, but of course we'd love to get, you know, more people on our half hour than we do on Chapter a Day. And this is a generous match in from current members, including a member in Wausau, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
Kind of their way of encouraging you to join in and join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support right now. Great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we have $3,500. And make sure that you call in now so that your gift will be matched and we don't run out of money before you call in. So do that right now. So, you know, every week we hear from a different expert about one of your favorite pastimes, and mine and Larry's, gardening. And we talk with horticulture professors and nationally renowned gardeners who can answer just a huge variety of general questions. And, you know, some of them specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables or maybe native plants. And so your support for this weekly show, that's where you get all so much gardening information. We cover everything all year long. So your gift really helps us give you this gift of gardening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can join Jill and I and take your Wisconsin Public Radio pride on the road with your new WPR tote. It's a vibrant orange and blue design. Your support of WPR programs you value will be on full display. Ask for yours with your contribution of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And you know, Jill, I've got a lot of totes, but I often need them because I've got a lot of books that I donate. And sometimes I have eight totes full of books.
I know. They're so great for books. I donate a lot of my books to my friends who are librarians. And
I do, too.
Yeah, I just love having a nice canvas tote. And you know what? Sometimes we don't think about, but Wisconsin Public Radio, you get access to the world. And that really makes a difference in your life. You get the news, the information that you need to stay informed. It's really important to be informed. And you know what? There's conversations that make you think. And along with the great music and entertainment that help you relax.
No matter where you are, when you listen to WPR, you're a global citizen. You hear from artists, reporters, experts. And because you appreciate this connection to the wider world, I hope you'll make your gift right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to everyone. And because you yourself have been getting value out of it for over, maybe it's a year or two, or I know for me it's a lot longer than that, it's time to put something back in.
Make a donation for yourself and also for the community. The amount, of course, it's up to you. The important thing is that you participate. You can make your first ever gift at, say, $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
My gym membership, I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
Easily gum.
Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you if you have already. You know, I heard Rob saying that he spends his dollar on and he shares it. I don't believe him.
I'm wondering. I want some proof of that, Rob. So
if you're listening. Well, what about you? Have you made a contribution yet? If you haven't, now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a really an important impact. And it's easy to do.
Absolutely. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can. And remember, we have matching dollar for dollar.
That matching for dollar, dollar for dollar is up to $3,500. And we've got a long way to go on that. So if you haven't given, do it right now. Thanks so much for listening today, and thanks so much for giving. If you haven't done it, do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you again from Larry and Jill.